Again, we come to your presence confessing our sins. I particularly confess my sins, and I just come to ask you for fresh mercy. Lord, I recognize my inability, Lord, my limitations to be able to bring forth this word that you have put it, you have put in my heart. I know you put it there. And so I ask you to help me. Have mercy on me. Give me fresh mercy, fresh unction and anointing upon my heart, upon my lips, so your word will flow out of me like a stream of life, of living water, in the name of Jesus. Let your word flow in power and in clarity, in simplicity and in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, accomplishing an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. So our wills, we must submit it to your will. Our minds be further illuminated with the revelation and the light of the Holy Spirit, removing every veil of darkness in the name of Jesus. And our emotions be further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. That Father, Lord, Lord, we will not be the same, because we have been in your presence, Lord, through your word in the name of Jesus. Father, I also ask you, I duck under the covering of my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah. Help me so that I'll be faithful like they are faithful stewards and ministers of the word. Help me to be faithful, to redeem the time, not to speak my own things, but Lord, to speak only as you give me to speak in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as the word goes forth today, I come to pray that under covering of my fathers and in unity of it with them and with my brethren, every veil of darkness will be torn and removed in the name of Jesus. Strength will come to our ankle bones and our feet, so that, Father, we will see what you see and will be doers of the things that we see, not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. And our lives will bring you glory, and men will see us and they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because I ask, help them be a scribe, instructed them to the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this world things both new and old, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God put a word in my heart. It's so very clear to me that this is not me, this is God. And it's entitled, Living in the Resurrection. Living in the Resurrection. Amen. Now, God's thoughts toward us, like the Bible tells us, no, they far exceed your own thoughts for yourself. You need to know that His thoughts, and those thoughts are to bring us to accomplish His purpose. What is that purpose? We know it, but we're going to look at it again. That He wants to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1, 27 and 28, quickly, please. Thank you. Thank you. All right, these are His thoughts. That expected end is the purpose. All right, and give it to Colossians 1:27. To whom? It's talking about you and I. Let's say it together. To whom? I can't hear you. I said to whom? Okay, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. He's telling you that this thing is rich. It's going to reach. Thank you, sir. It's rich in glory. It's beyond money. It's glory. It includes money, but it far exceeds money. Okay? The glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next verse. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So that's the purpose. Now, this is the first part of the purpose. The second part of the purpose is that those who are perfect in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, in whom the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell bodily. So when you're being like Christ is just the first step for the fullness of God, which is the Spirit without measure, to dwell in you bodily. Look at John 3:34. Amen. We want to establish that. That's the expected end. And the Bible says that it is rich in glory. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto. So God gave him an unlimited measure of the Spirit. That's what that means. Okay. All right. So we see that that's what God has for us. Okay. And He desires for us to believe all that He has in store, so we can experience it. The way things work with God is that you must believe. When you believe, you will see. Bible says, "If thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God." Okay. I'm getting ahead of myself, but okay. But I mean, believing is what makes us see, okay? Now, we see this in John 11, and I'm going to go through this very quickly because I don't want to waste time, okay? John 11, we know the story. Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, okay? So, it's a story, but it affects us. All right, look at verses, John 11, chapter 5. Sorry, John 11, verse 5. I beg your pardon. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he left. So when he left after 2 days. He abode 2 days. So when 2 days, because he was fulfilling the prophetic type by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Alright? Now that's kind of love Jesus had. We spoke about humanism on Sunday, where you know you love people. If he really loved them just because he loved them physically, he would have gone. But the Bible tells you that he loved them. He's telling you special. It's a God kind of love. Agape love that does what God wants us to do towards people around us. Alright? Verse 11. Let's skip there. Alright? Alright. Okay. Then these things said he. And after that, he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then the disciples said, "Lord, I don't blame them. If it was me, I could have done the same thing." Okay, it's always very important to respect yourself. "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." How be Jesus speak of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus spoke unto them plainly, "Lazarus is what? Dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe." Stop. Didn't they already believe? They believed already. But he was saying that there are some things about me that you cannot believe. And I want you to believe. So I want to take you to a higher level of believing. Amen. That's the meaning of that. Okay. "Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Good. Okay. Then verse 21. I don't want us to waste time. "Then said Martha unto Jesus." So Martha came and met him on the way. We know the story. I'm just skipping it so we can make time. Okay. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." True, most likely. Okay. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." So you have power with God. Verse 23. "Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know." We say that in our heart sometimes when God tells you, when you read the Bible, "I know the Bible says that, but..." That's what she said. "I know, but..." She didn't say but we are putting it there because it's the but in the thinking. "I know, but thou shalt rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever..." Everybody say whosoever. I can't hear you. Say whosoever. "Whosoever believeth," liveth and believeth. It's two things. "Liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. Believest thou this?" That's a good answer, sir. Lord, help my unbelief. Here, we see a very deep truth. Martha demonstrated her belief in Jesus to some degree, just like we do. Her concept of the resurrection was that of a spiritual event that was common to men, that will happen at the last day. Later, it was hope. It wasn't faith. So he was saying, "Believest thou?" Faith is now. Hope is future. So here she was, and Jesus was talking to her something very important, and she was saying, "I believe you, You know, and I understand that you're going to do this. You know, but Jesus was telling her that the resurrection is, yes, it's going to be an event in the future, but it is first a person. The resurrection is a person. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him a super hand. Amen. He is the resurrection. He is the life. The resurrection personified. That's who Jesus is. Amen. And that's what Jesus was telling her. This was difficult for Martha to receive. It was difficult for the disciples to receive. That's why I said, I was glad that I was not there, so that when we get there, you will what? Believe. It means that you're not at that level of faith yet, and I know it. So, all right. So, and you know, also for you and I, many times we put things in the future. Hey, I know God will deliver me. Even David, man of faith, when Saul had chased him in the wilderness, he said, in fact, he went straight into unbelief. He said, I know one day Saul will kill me. This has gone on for so long. Sometimes it can be so long in a situation, you believe that, you hope that you will come out, but you don't believe you will come out. It's hope. You're hoping you're going to come out. You're praying and hoping. You're not praying and believing. But God wants to change that today by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. Okay. So we see that the resurrection is first a person. And what he was telling her was that her mind needs to be renewed. You need to accept this fact that I am the resurrection. So that's the thing that we need to understand. That's where I got the title from, Living in the Resurrection. You know, when you got born again, Ephesians chapter 1, I'm not going to turn there for time, verse 7, verse 11, verse 13, Bible talks about in whom we receive redemption, in whom we have forgiveness of sin, in him. You know, so when we get born again, where are we? We are in him. You are in Christ. You're actually in the resurrection. But it doesn't yet appear what you are going to be. So if you are in him, but he has not yet appeared, but we know that if you stay with it, when he appears, you will be just like him. And it's going to manifest in our experience. Amen. So we see that. All right. And we must have faith for it and live in the reality. Now, the faith here, I want to qualify. Look at John 20, verse 31, because I think that's very important. John 20, 31. Let's read it together. Pastor has taught us this so many times, so it's just a spin-off of what Pastor has taught us. Okay? John 20, 31. Thank you. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, one level, the Son of God, and that believing present continuous, which means is added on top of that belief, you might have what? Life through his name. So he's talking about a believing that produces life, because you are living in the resurrection and the life. So your believing in the resurrection should make you receive more life, and that life makes you now grow to walk in more love, because faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. So when he's talking about belief there, he's talking about a walk in love towards God. That's why I said Jesus loved Martha and Lazarus and Mary. That produces eternal life. A love walk that produces eternal life, first in you and then the people around you. That's the level of love he's talking about. Okay, so we can understand it. Now, of course, it's good to understand when you say resurrection, look at Revelation 20 verse 5 and 6 very quickly. Revelation 20 verse 5 and 6. Okay. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Next verse. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. You have a part in the first resurrection in Jesus' name. So you are blessed and you are holy. Amen. On such, the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Your name is there. Say amen. Okay. All right. But this, when the Bible talked about resurrection, we've spoken about Jesus as the resurrection. Now, the resurrection is really the transformation and the reconstitution of the human body from a mortal state to an immortal, eternal state that cannot change. A mortal state is a state that is subject to death, subject to sin, subject to sickness, subject to infirmity. But an immortal state, so that's resurrection. So the resurrection is when a person, the body is reconstituted and transformed by the power of God, and it changes state. It has to change state, and once it is resurrected, it's in a permanent state. It cannot come back again. So I just thought I should define that so you understand. That's the resurrection Martha was talking about. But Jesus was talking about a resurrection now, that the life of God can be in your body, in your mind, to a degree that your thinking is reconstituted and transformed. That your body is reconstituted and transformed and is no longer subject to death. We've seen it before now, even in John G. Lake. He put his hand in the petri dish containing the bubonic plague, and all the germs dried up. So it's just a sample. It's just a little tip of the iceberg of what other people will be doing in a certain age every day. It will be a normal way of life. Amen. That's where God is taking us. Amen. Now notice, if we go back to verse 26. Verse 26 of John 11. Verse 26. Let's go back there. So 25 and 26. There are two things there. Now the first thing is this. The resurrection raised as Jesus is the resurrection. Let's make sure we're on the same page. That we all agree. If you agree, raise your hand. Alright, so we're on the same page. So Jesus is the resurrection. So the resurrection raised Lazarus. But that was not the resurrection. Lazarus don't experience a resurrection. He experienced a raising from the dead. Elijah did a raising from the dead. Elisha did a raising from the dead. Even Jesus did a raising from the dead. But he didn't call it resurrection. Do you understand what I mean? So what is raised? The raising from the dead is when the spirit comes back into the body, and the body is reconstituted. I mean, it's not reconstituted. The body has life injected back, and it comes back alive. It is still in a mortal state. It is still subject to death. It is still subject to sickness. It's not the same. The resurrection makes you impervious. You are impervious to sin, and you are impervious to death. Just so that we can understand and be clear. So the first part in verse 25 was that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That was for Lazarus. But this one, the next one, is for you and I. Let's read it together. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now I ask you in the place of Christ, believest thou this? Lord, have mercy on my own belief. Oh yes. Amen. Yes, I believe it. Because he paid the price for it in full. And he will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So it cannot be broken. So if that is the case, then there must be some people who will fulfill it. I put my name there. You should put your name. Amen. All right. So we see that's the will of God for us. So this second part. So now look at 1 Corinthians 15, 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians 15. Maybe 24. Give me from 24. All right. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. When even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. He's doing that through certain people. The Zion Church. Yeah, so when he says he's talking about the head, Christ, and the body together. Okay, next verse. For he must reign till he has put what? All enemies where? Under his feet. Next verse.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is who? Death. Death is a spirit. Death is a place. Death is an event. When the spirit of a person leaves the body, it is death. We say that person has died. But death is a place where at the end, they're going to put death and hell into the lake of fire. You can check your Bible. Believe me, it's there. Alright? And then death is a spirit. He is the one that goes around killing people. They call it spirit of death. There are many people on the expressway, spirit of death. No. That's death. He's a being. And we're going to put him under. This Zion church, end time triumphant church, is going to put death under. And you're going to be there in Jesus' name. Alright? That's the will of God for us. Okay? Right. Now, verse 27. She said unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. She, her faith couldn't carry it. So, that's Yoruba English translated. But she couldn't believe it. So she went back to saying, I believe who you are. But I'm not too sure that you can do that. I'm not too sure that you can actually do that now. But I know that you are a man of God and you are the Son of God. So you see, the very diplomatic answer. So she believed, but she didn't believe. Okay, so let's go on. All right, let's jump to verse 39. Are you with me? Then Jesus said, let's read together. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. What a word. That stone there, you know, because I'm not sure I'm going to come back to it. Let me just, that stone there is anything that is man-made. Any imagination, any high thing, anything that stands against the word of God being manifest in your life. If they raise Lazarus from the dead, will he be able to come out if the stone was there? The answer is no. So the first thing God does is to take away the stone. You have to take away that imagination. Because if you don't believe, the believing is here. If you don't believe, take away the stone and put a white stone in its place here. If you don't take away that old stone, the stone of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and put the stone of revelation there, you will not see the glory of God. So take away the stone. Do you understand that now? Okay. Note that this is our responsibility, both for ourselves and for others. Martha, let's keep reading. The sister of him that was dead said unto him, Lord, by this time he was stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee? And God is saying it again unto us. If thou wouldest believe, if you wouldest go to a higher level of believing, if you go to a higher level of love, if you go to a higher level of faith, for now you will see the glory of God. If you want to see the glory, you have to go to a higher level of faith. Amen. Amen. So that's what he's saying. Okay. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. Deliberate. I said it so that they can use it to believe. But I said it, okay? That they may believe that thou hast sent me. See how many times using the word believe. That's why God says things to us, brethren. He says it so that we can believe. We should not balk at the word of God. We should not stop short of believing the word of God. Don't hope on the word of God. Believe the word of God. Now, faith is. Okay? All right. And when he had thus spoken, he cried. Or you could say he groaned. With a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead did what? What did he do? Came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did what? Believed on him.
They didn't read any Bible. They didn't do anything. They just looked at the man, and instantly faith came into their hearts. This is the doing of the Lord. It's marvelous in our eyes. Alright? So we see there a type for us that God is fixing to make you and I living miracles that people will look at. They will see the way you behave in the office, the way you behave at the party, the way you behaved in the hospital, when you went to see somebody, and they will just have faith and get born again. That we can't preach to everybody, brethren. There has to be influence. There has to be power. There has to be glory flowing out of just influencing people by remote control. By your being there and by the things that you do, the quality of the miracles makes people believe. And instantly believe. They were just the same way the centurion believed. He just looked at Jesus and he thought, this man is under authority. He's the Son of God. The same way, you don't have to go to my house. Just send the word. And just said, great faith. Great faith. Just from looking at his lifestyle. May men get great faith from looking at your life. That's the will of God, brethren. God, our life should inspire faith. Should inspire faith. When you walk in love and you demonstrate the love of God, it will bring faith. Because we know that hope desires. So what love wants, hope will desire it. Then faith will create it. Then love will bring it. So really, hope and faith are coming out of love. So the force of love in the air will generate faith. It will. It's a spiritual force. Bible says it cannot be contained. Okay, so we know that faith works by love. Okay, thank you, sir. Alright, so we see that Jesus, the resurrection, fulfilled John 11:25. And I want to assure you, brethren, like Pastor Wigger was just echoed, that the scripture cannot be broken. He's going to fulfill John 11:26. If we live and we believe, we will see the glory of God. We will never die. We will never die. I said, brethren, you're not going to die. And I don't have the power to say like Pastor says. But that pastor has said on that covenant that doesn't give you permission. So I'm reminding you that you don't have permission to die. You're going to live to fulfill the number of your days. And you will see that glory in this land of living. And all the blessings that come with it. Amen. Now notice that we're living in a time that God wants to do it. Look at Hosea chapter 6. Because you need to understand the times you're living in. Bible says that it's like our day, but then that understood the times and what Israel ought to do. So you know that everything is come and be set for us for a time such as this. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. That's another story for another day. But let's go to verse 2. So I stay with my... Says what? After. I can't hear you now. You're not encouraging me. One more time. After 2 days. Will he what? Revive us. How many days did Jesus wait when he heard that Lazarus was sick? 2 days. So he started all the way from there. Alright, and prophet had already prophesied. Jesus saw it and fulfilled it. Waited 2 days. Alright, so it's after 2 days. It can be more than 2 days, because by the time God there was 4 days, but it was after 2 days. So this scripture is fulfilled. Will he what? Revive us. And that's the raising from the dead. But in the third day, he will do what? Raise us up, and we shall what? Live. That live is Zoein. Zoe is the substance, the increasing of the substance in you, spirit, soul, and body, is what he calls living. Live in his sight. Spirit, soul, and body saturated with the life of God. Fully saturated. That's where he's taking us. That's the time we're living in. So, brethren, everything, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, notice that Lazarus was bound in 3 areas. The Bible says he was bound in the face, he was bound in the hands, and he was bound in the feet. So, Lazarus was bound in the face,
refers to the way he was seeing things, was bound. Who is the person that binds? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you. We are so well taught in this house. Let's give God all the glory. Amen. All right. Verse 2. Let's read from verse 2. But I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves toward every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's influencing other people. Okay? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Stop. Those verses are linked. If you have dishonesty in your heart, you are giving Satan the opportunity to blind you. So you won't see clearly. So when Jesus says that beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, you say it's because we have no bread. Because the dishonesty provides, he allows a veil that is put there, you know, by the God of this world, which is the devil. Okay, so I want to bring that up. And then let's continue reading now. Which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. See, he's talking about glory. He's emphasizing glory. It's not just a gospel, it's a glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine unto them. So that was why Lazarus, you know, if Lazarus remained bound, that testimony would not have been complete. He was living, but he was bound. Same way, we are born again. We have the nature in our spirits. Okay? But in the soul and the body, to some degree, we are bound. And was bound also hand and feet. Now, if you are bound in your face, naturally, your hand and feet will be bound. You need to see differently before you can do differently. This is just talking about actions. Okay, so you must think different. Everybody say, think different. See different. Then act different. Love is thinking and doing. If you know that our confession, I love God with all my heart, will, mind, emotions, and strength. I love my brothers and guys, love them, washing their feet by forgiving their sins, asking life for them, the frequent ends once every 6 hours, and I do everything in every temptation. To cover for them, to cover for every hour throughout the day, you know, as led by Spirit. How do I say it? You know, and by this, in every temptation, in our thoughts and actions, to help them repent, to will and to do of God's pleasure. But what I want to bring out of that is that love is in your thoughts. The Bible says, if you think on things that are true and honorable, just and pure, lovely, of good report. Love is in the thoughts first. It's not an act first. Is a thinking process first. If you do an act first, it's not agape. It's first in the thought, in the mind. So really what God is saying is that he wants to clean us out from inside. There are deep-seated ideas and thoughts that are not allowing us to see the way we are supposed to see, so that we can live the way we are supposed to live and reflect the glory to the degree that we should. That's what God is saying. And until Lazarus was loosed, the miracle done by the resurrection and the life was not believed. So until we too are loosed, the world is not going to believe. But the Bible says in John 17 that the world will believe. Okay? Well, yes, when he is in us and we in him, and we are made what? Perfect in one. Then the world will, at one point it says the world will believe, and after that says the world will know. Let's look at it. John 17, because I think that's an important scripture. John verse 20. John 17. Alright. Neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. Next verse. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Next verse. And the glory, see the glory. The glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be what? One, even as we are one. Next verse. I in them, thou in me, that they be made what? Perfect in one. Talking about unity of knowledge. Perfect knowledge in all the church. The first one is the unity of the spirit. Our church is so united that it will bring. This one is unity of knowledge. Bible says the world, that unity of knowledge will come when after the glory. When the people that have the glory, and people that have the people will know the difference. So then the people that don't have the glory will go to the people that have the glory and submit. Then we will all be one. Perfect in one. Alright? That the world may know the last and that thou as thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This is going to come to pass. Amen. Alright. So what are we saying? We're saying that this is what God wants for us. You know, and we as children of God, we must arise now and lose ourselves. They lose Lazarus, but we lose ourselves. Look at Isaiah 52, verses 1 and 2. Right, okay. Thank you. Let's read together. Awake! Awake! That means we're sleeping. We must read it as present truth. That means we're sleeping. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. So we must circumcise our thought life. Circumcise our wills. Circumcise our mind. Circumcise our emotions. Okay, next verse. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O what? Captive daughter of Zion. Loose yourself. So you can lose it. You can lose yourself. That's what he's saying there. Lose yourself. So we're going to see, how then do we lose ourselves? How? As we begin to move towards closing. Okay. Now Jesus himself is an excellent example of. Look at Luke 22, verse 41 and 42. Luke 22, 41 and 42. Quickly. Thank you. So we're going to lose ourselves in Jesus' name. That means it's in your power. It's in our power. God has given it to us, and it's going to help us. Of course, we can't do it alone, but God's going to help us. Amen. All right. Right. 41. Let's read it. And it was withdrawn. No, 41. Thank you. And it was withdrawn from them about a what? Stones cast. And kneeled down and what? Prayed. Next verse. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Next verse. And there appeared an angel from heaven, what? Strengthening him. Next verse. And being in an agony, he did what? I can't hear you. He did what? Prayed more what? Earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of falling to the ground. It's symbolic. It's both literal and symbolic at the same time. This word of God, you have to have respect for it. Okay, what is God telling us here? Jesus had to remove himself from Peter, James and John's way of thinking. It's a stone cast. Revelation. He had to operate a different believing, a different level of faith from the one Peter, James and John, because their own was making them sleep. Bible says awake. So their own was such that the flesh was still dominating. So he couldn't live like that. So he had to move a stone cast away from them. And you have to know how to separate yourself from people that are not going to help you grow. You have to move a stone cast away from people that are influencing. It may be people, it may be things, it may be habits. Not allowing you to pray. No, maybe things you just enjoy doing. And they are making you sleep spiritually.
Bible says slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Slothfulness is a spirit, is a force. Let me put it that way. So yeah, it's a force. And if you are not doing what you're supposed to do or doing it enough, you find that you sleep all the time. Sufficient. I don't want to poke your but enough said. You can't fit, change it. Okay? Alright? So their way of thinking, their imaginations, their limitations, and he chose the Father's will. Now, choosing the Father's will there, you know, is repentance. Because he was not doing anything wrong per se. Do you understand? We normally think of repentance as when I do something wrong, Lord, I repent. Okay? But you must understand that there is the good will of God, there is the acceptable will of God, and there is the perfect will of God. You repent from the good to the acceptable, and you repent from the acceptable to the perfect. So it's repentance. So he's really talking about an attitude of repentance, not so much as repenting from a sin. It's very important. Understand that. Then he prayed fervently with travail, more earnestly, enabled by the mercy of God. An angel. Angel, they're also signifying oversight. Oversight, you need oversight to strengthen you. You are going to lose yourself, but it's with somebody upstairs covering for you and releasing sufficient of the life of God so that you truly, when you are loosed, you are loosed. You're not losing and putting it back on. Because sometimes we lose and we put it back on. The children of Israel did that many times. They will lose, they put it back on. They will lose, they put that. They will do well when they have a good king. Then will backslide. That's why they need the king needed to do the correct thing. And when there were good kings, the whole of Israel walks in righteousness. That's the influence of a king. So you need authority. You need oversight. So Jesus is under oversight here. Because the angel appeared at God's behest. He didn't ask for it. God saw he needed it and sent it as mercy. Amen. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. You need the blood. He hadn't died, but you know, God describes it like that. So we can understand. Because if you look at Hebrews 13, 20, 21, let's go there. Hebrews 13, 20, 21. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 13. Thank you. Yes. Let's read together. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. So the blood was the access through which Jesus himself came back. Jesus himself came back through the blood. So you need the blood. I'm not saying that if Jesus used the blood, I mean, you and I are going to have to use the blood. So Jesus came back to the blood. That great shepherd of the sheep, how? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So what makes peace between you and God? What allows your will to be able to align to the will of God is the blood. In the first instance, I know you set your will, but the blood must cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You must purge your conscience from guilt and condemnation, and then give you life. It is that life that now gives you the power to now set your will. If the blood doesn't do all that work, we're not going anywhere. That's why we needed the blood. That's why he shed that blood. So that blood, you know, is the first, of course, in Revelation 12, 11, is the blood, the word, and the spirit, okay? So, but the first thing I want to bring out here is the blood. And what does the blood do? It cleanses, not just, you see, I don't know, I want to describe something. I know, there's times you do something wrong, you know you've sinned, and say, Father, I confess my sins. True or false? And sometimes when a thought flashes through your mind, Bible says thought of foolishness is what? Sin. You know, sometimes you let it go. You say, you didn't do anything, but you know it's a sin. Now that thought has to be arrested and cleansed. It has to be repented of. It has to say, oh Lord, I repent that. No, sometimes thoughts of independence. No, leave me alone. like the children of Israel said, you know, like what the Bible says in the book of Mark. I was reading my normal Bible reading today, the book of Mark. The Bible says that, you know, Jesus went to the place and was teaching us when I had authority and an unclean spirit. Supposed to say, what do we have to do with thee? Have you come to torment us before the time? Nobody spoke to it. It just spoke out by itself like that. You know, sometimes these unclean thoughts just speak out. It cries out. Voice is crying with a loud voice. But voice is so loud, only you can hear. Because it's a thought. You can hear it loud and clear. But then you suppress it. You shouldn't. You should repent of it. So just like I said, just like, hold your peace. And say, come out of you. Just that, leave him alone. And Bible says, when he had torn and smitten, yeah, when Bible says, when he had torn, okay, that's why Bible says, after 2 days, yeah, you know, he will bind us up. The scriptures, oh, no. So, bottom line, I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes there are these thoughts that just come up spontaneously. You didn't ask for it, just comes up, boom. Is a sign of the deep sin nature. You know, our heart ordinarily is deceitful and desperately wicked. On a normal day, when you're smiling nicely, even on Sundays in church, deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can. So when God allows it to float to the surface, it's so that you can clean it away. Amen. Not to suppress it. Clean it away so your heart becomes purer. And guess what? You can have more light. You can see more. Then you can realign your will and say, I reject that thought. I don't want that thought. You know, sometimes it can be a feeling. I say, why am I feeling like this? Don't just accept the feeling. Why am I feeling like this? What's really going on? Check it. No, ask. Challenge it. And repent of it. Because the more you realign that will, you keep choosing life. That scripture mommy shared with us. Deuteronomy 30:19. Let's read it. 30:19. Deuteronomy 30:19. Give me quickly. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before thee life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Next verse. That thou mayest what? Love the Lord thy God. And that thou mayest what? Obey him. And that thou mayest cleave. This one is cleave. Oh, you obey. But no, they just cleave where your thoughts and your emotions are more like God's. Because you don't deny them when they come up, the negative ones. You clean them off. And so that's why God gave us the blood. To clean that deep and make you whole. Holy from inside out. As the Bible says, blessed and holy are they that partake in the first resurrection. If you want to be in the first resurrection, you can say amen. But you have to be blessed and holy by the blood. So it's a spiritual exercise. And no, anytime we do that, we exercise our wills in line with the will of God. Notice, Jesus himself was the first person to be resurrected. That's why he's the resurrection and the life. He's the example. At the time he was telling Lazarus, he was speaking by faith. He was calling things that are not as though they are. So the same way, we are going to call it as though it is by faith. And then we will now go through the process. It's the way Jesus did it. He called it by faith. And then he went through the process. And then because he had done the things God asked him to do, he was resurrected. Son of God. Undefilable. Okay, that's inheritance that is undefiled. Okay, so the blood must purge deeper. We lose ourselves by confessing and forsaking deep attitudes, resentment, murmuring, fault finding. And the essence is in Philippians 2:13-16. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. Give me the next verse. Thank you. Now, do all things. I can't hear you. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Next verse. That you may be what? Blameless and
harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Next verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. God will not labor in vain over us in Jesus' name. We will be perfect. We will hold forth the word and we will shine as lights in the midst of the world. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. Next one, of course, is the word of God. 1 John 2:5. So we keep that word diligently in our hearts. Okay, we know if you come to this church, you're familiar with this, but again, we say it because we don't know where the word of God will go. So, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God what? Perfected. So that love must be perfected. That's what it means to be perfect. The love of God is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we are in him. So we keep that word diligently. You know, Bible says that, my son, attend unto my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. The eyes there is your mind, my mind. Keep them where? In the midst of our hearts. For they are what? Life. So when Bible says choose life, it's saying choose the word and store it up. Let the word dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. Talking about revelation. Okay, so look at Romans 12:1-2, because you also get the sense, you know, how, you know. So it's one thing to read the word, but don't let anybody tell you you can't get revelation by just reading the word or checking the concordance. You get revelation by being under covering. You get under covering, and of course you pray Pauline prayers, but it's by being under covering of somebody who's already getting revelation. Otherwise, you are in the field of the fatherless. In the light we say, thank you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by who? The mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Blessed and holy. The first resurrection. Okay? Next verse. So, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what is he saying here? He's saying that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word of God, working through the mercies of God. So you have the mercies, it's plural. Because you need so much. It's not from one source, it's from covering. It's from covering. You need a lot of it. And you don't have it, you can't afford it. It's just by being under covering that you can have enough of it. So that mercy is coming on the one hand, the word of God you read on the other hand, through that you get revelation knowledge. 2 Corinthians 4:6. The light of God that shines in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, the napkin they used to cover his own face, he folded it when he resurrected. So his own face is unveiled. He loosed himself. So his own, and he folded it neatly in the tomb. They saw it there. So if you look in his face, with that which really is talking about looking in the word with a submitted heart, you're going to get revelation. That's the way the light comes through. So it comes through covering, it comes through the word, but it's now knowledge that God shares with you, and then that now gives the enablement to do the word. Because when you see it, then you can do it, but you can't do what you can't see. That's how we lose ourselves. When you read the word of God, you're just reading an ordinary Bible reading, and God points to scripture and says, this is you. Just hands up. I'm sorry. I repent of it. Lord, I clean it with the blood. I repent. I forsake. I set my will afresh, and I pray about it. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. We are so well taught in this house. All the components are there. Mercy, prayer, everything is there until we change. And we change. Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. As that iniquity deep within is purged out. And our goal is to prove the perfect will of God. That is Romans 12:2. We're not supposed to stop at the acceptable. Many times the acceptable impresses men. The good will impresses men.
But only the perfect will impress God. So we must seek that perfect will of God. And the perfect is to be perfect and then have that inheritance of the fullness of the Spirit without measure. And then, of course, by His grace, the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. We know that Bible says, let's just look at it because it's very important. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God what? Dwelleth in us, and His love is what? Perfected in us. The same thing you saw in 1 John 2:5. Now, next verse to now show you. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us what? Of His Spirit. It's the Spirit that does what? Gives life. It's the Spirit that gives life. So we see that. Okay? You know, and look at Romans 8:26. And I think that's also important. Now, Mr. C, let's read it. Let's read it. Thank you. Romans 8:26. Lord have mercy. You're walking in the Spirit. Amen. Likewise, the Spirit also what? Our what? Infirm in the soul and in the body. Okay? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So when we're praying in tongues, you're mentioning deep, deep-seated infirmities that you and I don't even know consciously that God wants to deal with. And you deal with them. But then they are allowed to come up so you can clean with the blood and release the power of God and remove it and then put the word of God in its place. Because you put the word of God in its place, the place is empty. You must put the word of God in its place. So you think on the word, okay? But the Spirit Himself, what? Maketh intercession for us with what? Groanings which cannot be uttered. Now you can understand why Bible says that Jesus groaned in the Spirit before He raised Lazarus. These are spiritual principles. Jesus groaned 3 hours to ensure that He will be the firstborn from the dead. And He's doing His own part. It's God that is doing it, but He had to play His own part. So if they groaned, if Jesus groaned, no, you and I are going to have to groan. Because Bible says, out of His belly shall flow what? Rivers. This one cannot be cleaned by little stream. It's a jet of river of life that will, you know, somebody, when you go to this car wash, thank you. Somebody's walking in the Spirit. When you go to the car wash, they have this jet. And the one that you'll be using your hand to be doing more, like the king will cut your hand. You know, they just use the jet. It's coming at incredible speed and it will remove the mud, even though it's dried and caked. Sometimes sin nature is dried and caked in our soul. It's dried and caked. But the power of the Spirit will remove it. By travail, it will remove it. It will remove it. Okay? And As we do that, He becomes the resurrection. And as we do that, you know, then what the Bible now says comes to pass. There is no charge. Charge is where there is sin that you are hiding that is standing against you. That's a charge. But if you're walking with God like this, then you're cleaning things out and you're under covering of fathers. Truly, there's no charge. And that's where God wants to take us to. Look at Romans chapter 8 as we begin to close. Verse 31 and 33. 31 to 33. What then? Let's read together. What then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You understand that in light of all we said. God being for us by the blood. God being for us by the word. God being not just wearing a sticker. If God be for me. You know, is God being for you with all those things in place? Next verse. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? We said on Sunday, the Son is the contractor. He supplied everything that was needed to clean your soul and present you perfect. The blood, the word, you are available, the Spirit. He gave you the name. Everything we need, it's already done. That's what He's saying. Okay, all right. Next verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. If you do all these things, you stand justified in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Okay, let's move to the next verse, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? I can't hear you. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Remember that the intercession the Spirit is making is coming from Christ. So Christ is making intercession by the Spirit. So he's telling you that Christ and the Spirit are walking through you through intercession. Who is he that is condemning you? What people that are telling you that you are this, you are that? He's telling you to keep your eyes focused on fulfilling spiritual law and not listen to what people are saying. Your righteousness doesn't come from pleasing people. Today is Hosanna, tomorrow is crucifying. There's nothing you will do that will please people all the time. So just love God and love men the way God would and be satisfied with that. If they spoke against Jesus, they're certainly going to speak against you. Don't get all worked up about that. Forgive and release and let go. That's a word for somebody. Forgive and release and let go. No, it's not worth it. They're going to have a charge. So just let them go. Release them. It's not worth it. Let it go. If the Bible says that he ever liveth to be, he's your high priest, standing there to make sure nothing stands against you. Amen. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He's telling you that none of these things can stand against you if you keep believing. If you keep believing, exercising your faith and walking in love, your faith is producing love. Or let me say, your faith is working by love. The Bible is telling you that these things cannot stand. They are temporal. They will change. They will change. Next verse. No, okay, let's skip that verse. That's a verse of unbelief. That's a verse of unbelief. We're not killed all the day long. We're not of them that are killed. They're quoting the scripture from the Old Testament. And we're certainly going to do better than them. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so nothing should stop you from perfecting the love of God. Verse 37. Everybody say nay. I can't hear you. One more time. Say nay. In all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. God is for you. God is the one that loved you. It's not love past tense. He loved you. He's loving you. And he's going to love you until you become who God wants you to be. He's going to love you into perfection. I love that. God's going to love you and I into perfection. Amen. You're going to get there. Amen. All right. And next verse. Last verse. Okay. For I am that neither. That's the first one. Last enemy. We're going to step on it. We're going to live above it. By the grace of God. We're going to live above it. Neither what? Death. Nor life. Nor angels. Nor principalities. Nor powers. Nor things present. Nor things to come. Next verse. Nor height. Nor depth. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He's using love and faith. He's using them interchangeably. He said that there is a length and a breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ that we need to walk in. That's the faith he's talking about. So that you can see the glory. So don't draw back from walking in love. It's about walking in love. And if you walk in love enough, there's life flowing in your soul. There's life flowing in your body. There's no charge against you. There's your high priest praying for you. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, he's also praying through you. What is it that is coming against you? It's going to go. It's going to bow. And you will see the glory in your mortal flesh. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3 as we close. Last scripture. Verse 10. Philippians chapter 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power that is inside Jesus Christ that made him the resurrection and the life. That same power. You are going to know it. That same power. Amen. And the what?
fellowship of his sufferings. You know, you suffer those things so that the power can go out to other people. But it's one thing to have it first, okay? And be made conformable unto his death. Next verse. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead in this life, in this body. He's talking about life, spirit, soul, and body. It's possible. Paul wrote it and saw it and walked to it, walked in it to some degree. John, we know, walked in it. And they threw him in boiling oil, he stopped boiling. Banja, he died an old man on the Isle of Pal by himself. We are going to do it because the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. Living in the resurrection. Don't live in hope. Live in faith and love. Live in faith and love. Renounce those hidden things so there's no veil. Remove the grave clothes, the feelings, insecurities, unbelief, wrong identity, where you see yourself, all those things. Don't let them pass. Bring them and go into the Word of God. Say, I stop seeing myself like this. Start praying. Start studying. Walking in the Spirit. Communing with God. Travailing prayer. Communion prayer. All those instructions we've been given. And gain ground every day. Daily. Gain ground. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep aligning your will. Pray in tongues. Pray with group travail. Let your emotions and your thoughts align with your will. The way it did for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal is to be perfect. Believe it. It's not pie in the sky. By the grace of God, God has shown us. Jesus spoke it by faith. We also speak it by faith. As we believe, so do we speak. Determine to be more diligent. And remember, stay on the covering. It's where it begins, by the blood. Align your will on the covering. Obey instruction. Reverence those in authority. Know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them highly for their work's sake. Keep that attitude and keep the word of God in your heart, so that attitude is always there. Want to pray? Let's raise that hand in faith. If you want to believe, pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that in this season of the resurrection, you want to encourage me to know that if I believe, I will see the glory of God manifest in my mortal flesh. Heavenly Father, I determine to use the blood to clean my heart from thoughts and attitudes, feelings and actions that are contrary to your will. I align my will with your will. So I choose life. So I love you more. and I cleave to you by your word in my heart, cleansing me and washing away infirmities and purities, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, flushing out the nature of sin from my soul and from my members, so that I will know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings, so that according to your mercy I will experience the resurrection from the dead while I am in this mortal body. I believe. Lord, help me. Help me to continue to practice the principles of the Christ life, walking in life, walking in light, walking in love, so that I will see the travail, I will see the manifestation of your promise in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rale de masata, je kankole, rendez-vous te kantambaya, wapa kasovo sef, rendez-vous de dubantan, rapa kakai, oshaliao, ramakatatea, rasankakea, rendez paria, rapanai, rambadiara, obasea, roda, bea, ranai, rando, bededededududu, ranabakaka, rambakatando, zelenevesa, velenebe, papa, rapakatan, kikomai, Jelanama be bao be rando baka jengado bangale rangala bakanta wanda bala kanga jekala bakongala romba kaka bokala romba kaka kakuru jelala be papa romba kaka chone runda baka kaka beda rene la basa jelala be menalaya rondea barodia rene la be jana mesa meka na maya rida be jelala be tua bakata rene isa na in Jesus' name, amen.